to Mija again for SFN Reviews. And we'll be talking about the French film Le Haine, which is from the director of Babylon AD. Except this movie's much better than Babylon AD.
I haven't seen Babylon AD, so I couldn't attest to it.
I haven't seen the uncut version. I've heard it's like maybe a little bit better, but the theatrical version, which was like riddled with studio interference, horrible.
Yeah. Well, this is like a Cassavetes only movie I've seen of his so far. But I'm Daniel. I'm a friend of Tim's, director, writer, and editor of the podcast. So welcome back, everybody. How you doing, Tim?
All right. How about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did. Did you have a nice just free time?
Yeah, it's nice to have free time for sure.
That's good.
Yeah. What did you do? Did you get anything good?
Oh yeah, I got mostly got like some movies and gift cards and stuff like that. So pretty nice. Good stuff, I would say.
What movies did you get?
Throne of Blood and
nice.
The Dead Zone, the David Cronenberg one.
Oh, good.
Thank
shit.
You for asking. And amongst like some books and stuff like that.
Nice. Oh, what kind of books did you get?
Oh, like a movie recipe cooking book and Joker screenplay book.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a screenplay book would be good, especially since I'm trying to learn how to write better, write good. I honestly, I don't really read like screenplays as much as I should.
Yeah.
It's like I know what they look like, I know what they're supposed to be, but I watch movies like all the time. It's like I know I could hear and like or I usually watch the subtitles, even if they're like English speaking movies, because it's just easier for me to follow along. So yeah, I kind of already get like a general sense of like how a script is supposed to go, but I mean, I've also been writing since I was like, I don't know, 10. So yeah. But still, it's good. It's good to have a reference and like learn how the masters have done it.
That's agreeable.
Yeah.
Hey, so I know you celebrate Hanukkah, but did you get anything for that holiday?
No, I didn't. I didn't really do much on Hanukkah. I mean, I was just mostly chilling and was just like hanging out with friends and stuff. I mean, I did go to one dinner event with some of my Jewish friends of mine. So that was really nice.
That's good.
Yeah, but I mean, I also kind of do celebrate Christmas because my family always has. But we don't really view it as like a Christian holiday. It's just, just a time just for family to get together and give gifts. That's just what it is to us. So, yeah.
Did you get any gifts yourself?
I mean, basically the best gift was my parents getting me plane tickets to go see them in Greece. So that was enough for me. Because they paid for my flight and everything. Greece was really amazing. A very beautiful country. My parents said they live on the island of Crete. And they have like a really nice place, like overlooks the bay. They live in near a small city called Chania. Which is a very, very charming place, has like a lot of history. But there's like a lot going on too there. There's always like so much life there, a lot of walkable places too. It was very beautiful. I really loved how there's like cats per square foot. Yeah.
increase, which I'm not even exaggerating whatsoever. There's like literally cats everywhere. But they're all very friendly, and because all the locals feed them. So it's so yeah, it's so that's a great experience. And yeah, it was good to see my parents again, and my cat too, my cat Vasca, who I love so much, and everybody I know, I don't stop talking about him and share photos and stuff. I mean, you see my Instagram.
Yeah.
It's mostly just pictures of him. But yeah, no, it was very nice to see, and the weather was good too, very, very warm. And yeah, we went to a lot of historical sites too. We went to like the Knossos Palace, which, if you know, is where the Minotaur legend comes from. It's the oldest site in Europe. It's like 2,500 years old. So yeah, that was really cool. And we also went to Athens for a day. Very beautiful city. It's pretty cool and very modern too. Like, it's a very like kind of compact city. Like a lot of buildings are close together, and the cars are quite small. It kind of
Yeah.
reminds me of like something like Hong Kong. Not as like sprawling or huge as that, but yeah, still it was still really nice. And yeah, and we visited the Acropolis. We went, to Mount to the real Mount Olympus. Saw the
Nice.
Parthenon, everything. Yeah, and like it was, and yeah, that when you see it in person, it is like humongous. It is like towering over you. Like, just pictures just don't do it justice.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. No, you gotta see it for yourself. And yeah, also the food was really amazing. Everything I had there was delicious. I love Greek food, so
That's good.
yeah. So yeah, it was a great time. I had a great time there. So that was my gift enough. Other than that, in my time there, I've been catching up on some books. I was reading a book by Andrei Tarkovsky, the famous Russian director of Stalker, Solaris, among a bunch of other stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, his book is called Sculpting in Time. It's a book where basically he's writing kind of his own view on film theory, but it's also like autobiographical, where he has like tidbits about the creation of his movies. And it was really fascinating. I feel like we're basically of the same mind too. So I feel like a real kinship with reading the book.
Nice.
Yeah, I really like the way he sort of frames like the creation of a movie, which is that, he believes that you don't really know how a movie's gonna pan out until you're actually on set and making it.
Oh yeah.
The form doesn't come together. Does it come be does it you know, you don't really get You don't really know like where it's going until like you could actually see the form and creation,
Yeah.
the form of the art coming into being. Like his whole thing is, he talks about movies as being the only art in which you are basically creating time. You are
Yeah.
playing around with time. Does the title Sculpting in Time. And how a director needs to have like a good semblance of how the time works within a story in order to make it a good film. How you use time to tell like what kind of story what you want to express.
That's fair.
And he also believes that, like, at least for him, a lot of his movies are very are autobiographical in a sense, where like, he puts a lot of his like very real emotions and experiences into his movies. He does that, because I guess, he finds like therapeutic, just to kind of get these feelings out of him. Like, that's the way he expresses himself. But also, he also views like, he views creating movies for an audience that are like him, essentially, that can identify with the things he's experienced, the things he's struggled with, the things that he finds interesting about the human condition.
That's
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely tend to agree. I feel like, they're, I mean, I guess we're so used to movies being created for like, a demographic, and especially Hollywood wants to get the widest audience possible.
Of course.
Because, because money, because that's what brings in tickets and everything. But to Tarkovsky, because he talks a bit about this, because like he critiques like a lot of like the way like Western movies are made. Of course, he made movies under the in the Soviet Union, under the Soviet system,
Yeah.
which is
Stalker
pretty
and
interesting.
Solaris.
Sorry?
Stalker and Solaris.
And a bunch of other stuff too, because like I think the last two movies he made was Nostalgia and Sacrifice, which are outside of Russia.
Interesting.
I mean, it's an interesting dynamic there, because like so like he says like in his experience that basically he was able to make a feature right out of film school,
Yeah.
because the Soviet government like gave him the money to do it. I think he also made a feature in film school as well, which is really cool. And at least they're like
What?
their programs are about like 6 years too, so it's very in depth.
That.
So I mean, I guess that's like the equivalent of like a master's in film here, I suppose. And yeah, but he says like the so he was able to like quite easily make films, as in like he never had like any financial issues to do it. The real issue though was mostly that he had to it could his films could only be approved through like the Soviet Cultural Authority, which are it's basically the government entity that are the ones who say if you can make a movie or not, and if it fits within the cultural sensibilities of the Soviet Union. Basically, if it's like comes off as too Western or too bourgeois or whatever, and a lot of just like really arbitrary things too. Like I remember I was reading one thing where he talks about the creation of his movie Mirror, and like he had an issue making it, because the movie is very autobiographical, because it's a lot about like him growing up during World War II, and he had an issue with the cultural authority because he included a historical clip of the Red Army crossing a river, and like that was kind of it, and like the cultural authority thought that was like that made the Soviet Union look bad.
That's pretty interesting.
I mean, that's just it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like I guess because I think if I remember the context of that clip was like there it was like in the harsh Russian winter, they were fighting against like the Nazis, and after they were crossing the river, they crossed the river, a lot of people died from the cold or starvation, a lot of like the military. So I guess the Soviet Union didn't want to look weak, I suppose.
Yeah.
Even though the clip, I mean, when I saw it didn't show anything like that. It just showed them crossing a river and that was it. So
That's so
everything else was
interesting.
fine. But on the other hand, he says with like the critique of Western movies is like, it's tough for an artist to get their voice out there, because the way like I mean, like I think of like in the Hollywood system as like the Western kind of basics, is that like I said, Hollywood wants to get the widest audience possible, but that comes at the cost of having like a director getting his vision out there and having his own unique voice, or making stylistic risks. Stuff like that actually like move the art form forward, as well
Yeah.
as actually make a genuine connection with people who would identify with that movie or story, or the feelings of a director. So I tend to agree. I think he's pretty much on the ball with that. Like personally, that's I mean that's the I make movies the same way. I just kind of want to make stuff that's interesting to me. And I want to reach out to people who can understand me through that medium. So
I totally get that.
Yeah, I mean, having money though is nice. I mean, you kind of have to do it to make a movie, especially feature, at least in the US. But I also think like, well, if I want to just, be a director just as a job, like a career, then like, what's the point then? Because then if I can't make what I want, then like, what's the point, So, yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people we know would disagree with that, but like, I mean, that's why I'm in it, because I want to make what I want to make. I want to express myself. That's my purpose. So,
It'll be really interesting to see how the public response goes for the thing that we were involved in this past weekend.
We should talk about that. We just came back. What was it, Saturday? That
Saturday,
yeah, we're shooting. We're recording this on Monday on MLK Day. Rather fitting for the movie we're going to talk about, but we'll get into that.
I don't know if we should like reveal too much in case, especially since the pilot's not even released.
No, yeah, I mean, no, we don't have to talk too much about it, but yeah, no, it was just, I mean, I just want to say it feels like really good to be on set because like it's been like, I don't know, like 2 months for me since I've been like back on set doing anything.
Dang.
So yeah, it's been a hot minute. But yeah,
Yeah.
I was really happy. I was a scriptee for a short film, part of a web series actually that Tim was directing,
Yeah, co-directed.
co-directed, and you acted it too. So yeah, I thought it was really a good experience, and I can't wait to see what the end result will be.
Like, it didn't always go the way that I expected when it came to casting, but hey, at least it wasn't like an outright mess.
Yeah, well, just like Tarkovsky says, you don't know what the form of a movie's gonna be like until you get on set. And yeah, it's always gonna look different than how you pictured it when you were writing it, Yeah, so which I think is so true. That seems to be the universal experience. But yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it was definitely a good time. And I guess the last thing I'll say, another book I finished reading also was Acting in Film by Michael Caine.
Nice.
It's a really good book. It was part of that I think I sent you that video. It was like it's part of like that lecture that Michael Caine did with like the BBC on like how to act in film.
I still got to get to that.
Yeah, no, I mean you should because like it is really interesting to watch. It's a lot of fun. Michael Caine is like really funny, but he also explains things in a very very simple way that's very easily to understand, especially something as complicated as acting. Yeah, I learned a lot from that because I figure like if I'm a direct, I should probably know something about acting.
That's fair.
So yeah, it was really interesting to see that. So I got the book also because he wrote like a small book sort of along with that, also called Acting in Film. And yeah, it was really fascinating. I like one of the most interesting things I learned was like how different film acting is from theater acting. Because like in theater acting, actors are basically the ones that motivate how the play is going to be through their exploration of the characters. As they keep like rehearsing and performing, then like their characters expand and thus they kind of make the story their own. While on film, an actor has to basically do as a director says and just feel their character, be in their character the moment the director asks them to do it. In that moment. So in some ways I feel like it's a bit harder. And like it's tough to kind of get that mindset, but that's what makes a good actor is like they can just do that on the spot. So like that's kind of like the whole point of it. I think yeah, there was so I have the book right here. I'll just like flip to a random page because he also has like a lot of like funny tidbits and stories here. So yeah, let's see. He says here. So this is him on talking about his experience on the movie Zulu, which I think is like one of his first big roles. On Zulu, I was incredibly nervous from the start, as you can imagine. My first big movie, my first big chance. The memory of the first day on location still makes me shudder. The uniform was uncomfortable in the boiling hot South African sun. I had to speak in this clipped upper class accent, an effort to say the least. Then to cap it all, my horse threw me into the river three times, and I kept having to change my clothes. Finally, the damned horse behaved well enough for me to get out my line. Hot day, hard work. The director, Sy Enfield, shouted, "Cut! Why is her voice so high?" I said, "It's the character." He said, "No, I heard your rehearsal and it was different. It's higher now." Yeah, so he's got a lot of good tidbits. Also a funny thing too, I won't read from the book, but he says that he says if an actor does stunts, they're lying.
Yeah.
Because an actor who does stunts is like rather rare, or like I should say does their own stunts, and he basically says if a director asks you to do a stunt and like it is incredibly risky and like yeah you could like hurt yourself or something or it's gonna cause like a lot of like it's a bit too emotionally challenging for you, then like you should just kind of like not. Just refuse to do it or like leave the production.
Yeah.
So, which I don't know. I guess that could be at least, especially with the people we know. That's quite a controversial take. But
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's. I guess it's up to the actor. But I don't know. I just found that kind of funny. Yeah, I want
That's pretty fair.
go as far to say as like an actor would be lying. But yeah. So, but I guess there's benefits and costs to being an actor who also does stunts. So,
That's a good point.
yeah. But yeah, it was really interesting, and I do highly recommend it. If you whether you're an actor, director, or you're just a Michael Caine fan, I mean, also the best part of the book is like just the way Michael Caine writes. You can't read it in any other way but his voice. You just hear it in your head. Yeah, he's a great personality. So, yeah. Too bad he never directed a movie. I feel like he would have been really good at that. I mean, as far as I know, I don't think he's directed a movie. I
Yeah.
think he's retired now from
Yeah.
the whole from all film. So, oh well. But yeah, really good book. So yeah, two great books, great recommendations. I definitely. Definitely going to carry them over into my directing career for sure.
Good.
Yeah, so you saw any good movies lately?
Zero Dark 30, which is a rewatch. Zero Dark 30, All of Us Strangers, some of Skinamarink, but I was so tired Saturday night that I ended up falling asleep.
It's a Skinamarink.
Yeah, but it's still a good movie. But
Wow.
then Lehane, obviously,
Yeah.
and also shows like House of Cards and True Detective, Night Country or Night County, whatever the new season is.
Yeah.
And looking. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot. I finally got around to seeing The Killer. I
Oh,
watched
yeah.
my parents actually when I was in Greece. Yeah, it was great. I mean,
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender, killed it,
Yeah.
literally. Yeah, no, he was really amazing, and like he is really fascinating to watch. But yeah, I thought the
Yeah.
whole movie was really cool. I thought a lot of it. It's an interesting movie because like it's a movie about a hitman, but it is very much like not glamorous at all, and like
Yeah.
it is. Very like has like a harsh realism to it.
Methodical in a way.
And like how the inner conflicts of Michael of the killer's character. He's he says you gotta be like basically be like the typical strong man masculine figure of like having no feelings and being utterly focused on your job. and having no connections to anybody. Basically, actually, like a lot like the characters in Heat in a lot of ways, you know? Like, yeah, with like McNeil's character. But yeah, I mean, and yeah, it was really great. And I love the fight scenes too. Very, very, very real. Yeah, and I was thinking too, like watching the movie, I was like, this is basically the closest thing we'll get to like it's like a good movie about the Hitman video games. It's like it's they're a lot like that. So
Yeah, way better than the two actual Hitman movies.
oh my God, yeah.
Which the first Hitman was bad, but at least watchable. Hitman Agent 47 I thought was garbage, or at
Oh
least
yeah.
close to garbage.
Yeah, I heard they are not good. I don't have any intention of seeing them. So
You're not missing much.
yeah, we got the killer. So that's all we need. That's like if you want to see a Hitman movie, like that's the one. That's the one. Yeah.
And plus, a good writer. Instead of Skip Woods, who wrote like Die Hard 5.
Oh really?
Yeah, Good Day to Die Hard, the worst Die Hard movie of all time.
Oh.
Yeah, he also wrote X-Men Origins Wolverine, if that tells you anything.
Oh wow. Okay.
Or
Oh okay.
co-wrote.
I thought you said he wrote The Killer, because I thought
No, no, no,
that was
no.
David Fincher. Yeah.
No, Skip Woods.
Okay.
Andrew Kevin Walker wrote The Killer, who of course wrote Seven.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. I
No,
still
and
haven't seen
also
Seven.
you should.
I
And
know.
he also wrote like 8mm, which is a seedy film, and also Sleepy Hollow, the Tim Burton one.
Nice. Oh yeah, I've seen that one. That'd be a fun movie to talk about one day. That movie's crazy. I love it so much. But yeah, and I also did watch the Muppet Christmas Carol. I know we said that we were gonna do on the last podcast, but Christmas was already like way past at this point. And I mean, I've seen it, and there's not like a whole lot to talk about with it either. I mean, it is a very impressive movie, don't get me wrong. And I thought it was quite good. I mean, just like all the Muppets and like just everything they do with them, and like how many just like the wide diversity they have, even just for like small characters, is like really amazing to see. And of course Michael Caine's in it too, and he's like he's really great, because he plays his role completely straight all the way through. And I actually like really like felt like, you know, like really felt for his character as Scrooge. Like he was really, really good. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a cute movie. It's nice, and you know, it's fun. Yeah, I mean, I had a good time with it. So I guess maybe a lot of people like it because of nostalgia reasons, which I can understand. I never saw it as a kid, so it wasn't like I was super into it, but you know, I really appreciate it for what it was, and I do like a lot of Jim Henson stuff. I love the Muppets, you know. So yeah, it was a nice time. So yeah, I think that's really all I've been up to as far as movies go. So yeah, so we can go on to the to our current one, Lehane, or Lehane, hate in French. Yeah, you wanna start us off? What did you think?
So I thought Lehane was pretty great, pretty effective in its themes
Yeah.
of like, I mean, not really any real good guys, to be honest, if that makes sense.
I guess I never really viewed the movie as like something as like good guys, bad guys, because
Yeah, I didn't really view it as that either. It's just more so a movie about just people doing things. The black and white cinematography thought was an interesting choice, which my assumption is it's to portray it because it is kind of a bleak time. And I assume it's like if it's black and white, I thought it was a good choice for that, despite coming out in 1995. Of course, the performances were great. Vincent Cassell, who is of course from like Irreversible, is great in it. Yep. Played a crazy character. I mean, it's directed well, it's stylistic, it's written well. And the characters, they felt like real people. And there were real consequences. And are we doing spoilers or probably no spoilers?
I mean, no, yeah, we're doing spoilers for sure.
Yeah, the ending, like with the whole thing, the accident with the Vincent Cassell character getting killed accidentally by a cop, and then that final showdown.
Yeah.
I liked how it was basically ambiguous. You don't know who survived it or not
Yeah.
between one of the other two characters.
Yeah, man, that was a great moment. I love that part of the movie. The whole
Yeah.
movie I love, but like, yeah, just every all the scenes are just crafted so well.
Yeah, and it surprised me too that those last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's because like it sort of, it kind of pulled the rug out under you because at the end it's like Vince like gives back the gun, to Hubert, but at the end it cost him his life, and maybe Hubert is at the end too. So yeah,
Yeah,
I love the ending is a fantastic.
I agree.
I was actually like watching the director's commentary like literally just before we started. So and yeah, he said he shot in black and white just because so basically like they were filming in the French in the Parisian ghetto, what's called in France is a banlieue. And basically he wanted to make the movie look good. And with the ghetto, it's he says it's like rather ugly. So he thought like a better way would just to have it be in black and white because it would make it look, it would make it look a lot better. And it was also like he didn't want like any colors like being distracting to the viewer. He really wanted the audience to really focus on the action specifically and on the character and the story. So that's more or less why he shot in black and white. My initial assumption was like it's just because it's cheap because like in the 90s, shooting on black and white is like a was like cheaper in film than shooting in color.
Yeah.
So that was my guess, but no, he just did it for a specific aesthetic reason.
That makes that's I think it's pretty interesting. That makes a lot of sense. It's kind
Yeah.
of cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it was yeah, I think that was a great choice for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the movie was really great. I think it is unfortunately rather still a very relevant film. It
Yeah.
is a movie a lot about racial issues and conflict, as well
Yeah.
as class conflict, because we have our three characters. We have like Hubert, who's African Frenchman, Said, who's Arabic, and Vince, who's he's white, he's Jewish too,
Yeah.
which I thought was also an interesting choice for that character. He's like again, going back to the director's commentary, Kassovitz said that he made him Jewish in order to portray Vince as like somebody whose like family history, was like full of oppression, and prejudice. But him in the modern day in 1990s France, he hasn't like experienced that. So he's like contrasting that with Hubert and Said, who do experience that on the daily.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very fascinating.
Yeah, I
But
agree. Yeah.
yeah, so what'd you think about the characters?
I thought they were well written, and there was a lot of development to them. And again, as I said, really, they felt like real people. And I liked how I do like how like they. It almost felt like one of those slice of life types of films, if
Yes,
what I'm saying.
absolutely.
And that's pretty much what I expect. Even like the whole riots and how that's kind of shaped them a little bit into this kind of world. Like the world basically shaped these characters into sort of like go on like re they're like rebellious, but at the same time, it's like that's how they think that's like their best way of living in the world.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I really think it is interesting they frame it around like the riots, because like because yeah, the director was talking about how so all that footage like in the beginning is over the course of like 2 decades basically. So like those are footage from like the riots in the 80s in France, up to the modern day. And he says he was inspired to make the movie because there was, I think there was an African kid who was who was killed by the police. He was shot in France, and another African kid who got beaten so bad that he also was killed. That's why, you know, the inspiration for this whole movie, and kind of showing like what life is like in these places, and you know, the day after the riots, but also kind of showing like why this all happened, at least from like the director's perspective. And also, not to mention, Cassavetes was also involved in those riots in the 90s as well. I mean, he was like part of the protests anyway, but yeah, so this is, it's a very, very, very personal movie to him, which I really appreciate, kind of showing this sort of perspective. So yeah, and yeah, and you know, yeah, and you're right, the characters do feel like very real. And it definitely shows that like these are like people that Cassavetes probably knew, grew up with, or hung out with and everything. And like I definitely identify with it too, because like, I mean, I never lived in in like the projects or whatever, but I've had friends who have, and you know, and like, you know, I going to visit them and everything, it is like quite a different world for sure. But I definitely know a lot of people who do act like those guys. Some people who were like my friends and everything, back in the day. So yeah, I found it very true to life. And yeah, I always find it like, I always wonder like how you go about making like a slice of life movie and make it just feel so real like this. And you know, I guess the only way is just to kind of show these, like, you have to kind of, I guess, live these experiences, I suppose. At least give the impression of that. Which is, you know, again, like what the director said is like, you know, he did like live like this, and knew these people and everything. So, and like a lot of the stuff that's in the movie is like actually stuff that happened, or at least just something they just had like happen on set, just organically. Because a lot of the people, like extras in the movie, are people who do live in the projects. So yeah. So which I also like, just really love that too. Just, you know, really giving back to the community like that.
That's pretty understandable. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So like what you think, like what do you think this movie was like trying to say? Like what do you think is the message of it?
I don't know if I necessarily thought it was a message. I just saw it as like what its story was. But I think if it was like the whole point, who I guess probably. Sometimes, like, there's no good thin line between fitting in, but also not getting in legal troubles. So
So go ahead.
I didn't really like, I didn't really like, wasn't really, didn't really think about the whole message, but like, that's what I would probably think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've seen this movie twice, so, and I know quite a bit about like its creation, everything. But even on first blush, you know, I really did find it to be an overtly political movie.
Yeah, it
It's
is.
just like very, you know, it's like it's first and foremost grounded in realism and kind of telling the story of Vince Hubert and Said, and just their lived experience of living in the ghetto, basically. And them, and like the way, like how the, like their personalities clash, but the way, and also kind of how they suffer, but also find joy in it at the same time, just like everything in life, you know. But yeah, I mean, I guess for me, if you know, for like the thematics, I think the movie is a lot about, I mean, you know, just like the title, it's a lot about hate and how hate breeds hate. You know, so you know, and I feel like the character is representative of people who are like you know, are oppressed through prejudices and also just because of their class position as like being like working class. And then, you know, you see throughout the movie they're constantly harassed by police, which eventually they do like kill them. And so, you know, and like this stuff I'm sure has like a long history within France, just like it is here in the US. And you know, you kind of get to see like their frustration throughout the movie in terms of like them hating society at large. Merely the police, obviously, but you know, society at large. And yeah, like you said, like, the rebelliousness, but you know, at least that they have like, but they have each character has like different reasons for the hate, basically. Which is what I find like very interesting. But at the end, about how like that hate is ultimately like their self-destruction, and how, you know, society has like sort of destroyed their semblance of peace and security, which eventually leads to their own self-destruction, you know, at the end. And how basically, you know, these problems are still here, especially, you know, it's still here in 2023, and not just in France but all around the world. And it just keeps going like that, with that kind of cycles of like violence and oppression. So yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yeah, essentially, I think that's what the movie's kind of expressing, is like, you know, these problems are still here, and they are only continuing until there is some change that can be done about it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, so I feel like that's mainly like what I would find like the message to be about.
Use the music pretty
Oh,
well
the
done.
music. Yeah,
Pretty
talk
fitting.
about that. Yeah, I really love that. There is like there's no score in the movie really, but it does
Not
have a
really.
really interesting soundtrack where you get to hear a lot of the set the sound. The culture of like, you know, the ghetto of like the working class neighborhood they live in, through like the of like hip hop and rap, R&B, all this stuff, and you know you sh sh they show like so many moments of joy. Like one of my favorite moments in the entire movie, maybe my overall favorite, is like the DJ. Remember that part where like he's just like has like his boombox, or like not the his speakers, and like his DJ setup, you know, facing the window out to the neighborhood. He just starts playing, you know.
Vaguely, yeah, I think.
Yeah, and
Vaguely.
like and then like the camera starts like flying over the neighborhood as like the hip hop track is playing.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, so beautiful.
I agree.
Yeah, fun fact about that part, the way they did that was they just attached the camera to a remote controlled helicopter, like a toy helicopter.
Really?
Yeah, and it was apparently like very hard to control, so they had to try to do it like several times. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, we have like drones now, so you know, it's a lot easier, but back then that seems like so risky, especially with, like, a really expensive camera.
Yeah.
That'd be really difficult to do. Also, that disc jockey was also a real DJ that the director knew, so included in the movie.
So he was a real DJ.
Real DJ, yeah. I forget his name
That's
is. I think it's like DJ Cuts or something. But
cool.
he became like really big in the U.S. Working with a lot of like rappers and hip hop artists in the early
Nice.
2000s. Yeah.
But when it came to like drone footage, I wonder how many of the projects are involved and had drone shots.
You mean this movie or?
Just our projects.
Oh yeah. I think we had one just for the first episode of Aftermath. That's all I know. I haven't been on the other set that were used drones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But
Drones.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Rhodes.
Rhodes. Rhodes. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly very ambitious in Lehane, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, again, like a really high risk to do that, for sure. Yeah, and you know, going back to the characters, I think a lot of them are like really fascinating, like their dynamic. You know, for such a short movie, like the characters have so much depth to them. You get to
Yeah.
really see like so much of their life, you know. Like I really like how Saeed, he's like a he's very he's you know, he seems like very I think he's like the youngest out of all of them, and like, you
Yeah.
know, he's like very immature, mischievous. But he's also the one who's like most involved with like the criminal underworld, you know, like dealing drugs and everything.
Yeah.
And knowing like all these like dealers and like that guy who's like who like basically like steals like stuff out of cars and everything. I don't know if you remember, they went to that apartment where like they had this guy named Walmart there.
Baby.
Yeah, it was like the apartment where there's like a bunch of boxes, and then that the that guy was like complaining about how his car was like literally burned to a crisp because of the riots.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that guy, I mean, it wasn't clear to me until I saw the commentary like who he was, because I thought he was just like another drug dealer. But no, he's a guy who sells stolen merchandise. Thus, his name is Walmart. Well, actually, that was just what the English subtitles called him. I forget, but his name is like based off of a large French like grocery chain.
Nice.
Yeah, so I don't know, I find that kind of funny. Yeah, did you think this movie was funny?
I wouldn't say so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought I had a lot of funny parts. I was laughing a lot.
Maybe I don't know if it was just my mood. Maybe I did couple chuckle a few. I think I may have chuckled a few times.
Yeah, you know, it's funny with this movie because like, you know, we typically think of like French movies that are black and white as like very, very being like, I don't know, at least in America, like being like very pretentious, very heady, overly symbolic, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But this movie is like anything but that. I mean, it does have like its like surreal moments and stuff sometimes. But it's mostly grounded in realism, and it's also like I think like the most vulgar French film I've ever seen. They swear every like line. It's great, and their swearing is so creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love that. Yeah.
And pretentious, like less, certainly less pretentious than like some of Gaspar Noé's movies. And I like Gaspar Noé as a filmmaker, but I know some of his movies can get kind of pretentious.
Oh, sure. Or like, you know, even older like Jean-Luc Godard or something. Like, I personally
Yeah.
don't like his movies, or at least I have not seen a movie of his that I've enjoyed it and not felt like I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, Juan.
Sorry?
Jean, the director, or
Yeah,
Gaspar?
you know, Jean-Luc Godard. Yeah, I don't know. I just he's just two. I've seen two movies of his, and they're both like really annoying to me. So I just gotta find. I should probably just watch Breathless. I've heard like that's his best one. But yeah. But anyway, this movie though is like not that at all. And
Oh, actually, I haven't seen Jean-Luc Godard's movies yet. I've heard of
really?
Breathless.
Wow. Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, I've seen two of them. I've seen Tout va bien, Everything's All Right. And then there was another one. Was it The Weeknd? Maybe.
Not
But
not oh I've seen 400 Blows. You did that.
are you sure? I thought that was Truffaut.
Yeah, it was Francis Truffaut, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah,
But
I
yeah,
mean,
I've
look.
not
Go ahead, go ahead.
sorry, I've not seen Breathless.
Yeah, no, me neither. So, yeah, I do want to check it out at some point. Yeah, no, I thought the movie was pretty funny. I think the chemistry between like all the characters, like the actors and everything, was really good. They feel like they've known each other since like childhood. You know, you can just get that impression from them that you're just like hang out with these guys, and like they, you know, like yeah, like I said, their chemistry is just immaculate. They bounce off each other like really well. Yeah, I mean, I can't really like praise the acting enough. I mean, it's just, yeah, it feels like just like really natural. And I guess it helps the, you know, that that the director and those three actors, they're all friends of the director. You know, they've also all lived like in the Bundui, in the ghetto, for a long time. So you know, I feel like that it they bring a lot of authenticity to their roles. You know, you can only just like a director can only just wish they could have like could find even one actor that they're like any of them, let alone three. And I think Saeed too, the guy who plays Saeed, who I think the actor's name is actually Saeed. I think this is his first role in anything. I don't think he was like even an actor previously. He was just somebody the director knew and wanted to have an Arabic guy in it, so he put him in and like. Yeah, I mean he does fantastic, you know. Yeah, really, really amazing stuff. What did you think of the portrayal of the police in this movie?
I definitely I th definitely you could definitely tell there that a little one-sided, but that may have been the whole point though,
Sure.
or something like one side, like yeah, they're clearly opposed, but at the same time, like they don't feel like stereotypes.
No, I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess like not stereotypes. And yeah, it is, I mean, yeah, it is like, you know, one-sided for sure, but I feel like there is like not without good reason.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, yeah, I mean, the whole point of the movie is just to kind of show the experience of like how these guys live.
Yes.
And you know, to me, like, yeah, these are again, I've known people like this, they have lived like this. They've had like issues with like police and stuff. You know, and in like, you know, police harassment. Thankfully, nobody I know has faced police serious police brutality, but you know, it happens. And you know, but they do show they have like that. There's like one good cop. He was like I think like a plainclothes officer. I don't know if he
Yeah.
had a name. I just put in my notes as just like the detective, but you know, if you remember, he was like basically it was like after they get like arrested at the hospital, right? When they were trying to go see Abdel, but then like
Yeah.
Saeed and then Vince Dubert got separated, and then Vince
Yes.
Dubert, yeah, we're like yeah, with that cop. Of that police officer, you know, he's just trying to put them on a straight narrow path and like, you know, try not to, you know, tell them to not do anything stupid. So yeah, and you know, I was also, you know, listening to director's commentary, he wanted to include that to give a, I guess, a more balanced perspective, you know, where he says like, you know, there are good cops and he believes that most cops are good, they're trying to do better, it's just the system that makes it difficult to do it. In his perspective anyway. I don't necessarily, I guess, agree with that. And you know, what people mean by good cop, bad cop is you know, definitely up to interpretation, I guess. You know, but
Yeah.
like, you know, I do think it is really interesting that he wants to include that to kind of give a more human face. No matter, you know, even if it's such a small role to the police. You know, the police are like a big aspect of this movie and like so many of the problems that these characters face. I mean, I guess I found it really interesting how in like in France it's a very similar situation to the United States. I don't know like about nowadays, but you know, like they show the police in France being like very sugar happy and like
Yeah.
the, you know, I mean like at least like the really like sadistic ones. And unfortunately, yeah, there's still like, you know, we still definitely still have police officers who are like that here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess at the same time, I guess I think of it as like, I don't know. It's I mean, I guess like the like throughout the movie you see, you know, all the characters really hate the police. I mean, they say pretty outright they hate them, right?
Yeah.
And you know, again, for probably, you know, good reason, considering just how much harassment they face all the time from them. And you know, again, quite a universal problem across the world with a lot of police departments. And you know how like you know throughout the whole movie about they you know they show like the how the police also harassing all the neighbors and stuff as well. And you know, but I think it's interesting the reaction how the reaction is so different from all three characters, because like you have like Saeed and Hubert, who are, you know, there's several scenes where this is like very one specific scene where they get arrested when they're in Paris, because I mean, yeah, probably just because they look like they're not supposed to be there, because they look like working class an Arabic guy and a black guy. And then Vince, you know, and he's almost arrested, but he gets off like scot-free, and nobody suspects much of him from there. And then yeah, and then like you know that man, that torture scene, you know, in the police station was like, yeah, that was hard to watch. That was like too real for me, you know. But again, I understand why they have it in there, and like yeah, because unfortunately, this kind of thing does happen. And yeah, but my, man, that was like. That was definitely harsh, for sure. And like you know, that's the kind of difference between like a lot of Slade and Hubert is like this is something that they could, you know, that they could be humiliated and tortured by the police, while Vince is can you know, he's an interesting character because like he hates police too, but it's not really because at least from what we got the impression of the movie is he's not very much he's not like really harassed by them. He doesn't really have to deal with them very often. But even though he acts like he's the one who hates them the most, like he even refuses to shake the good cop's hand, you know, in that part, and he also, you know, wants to kill a cop, because you know he, because like he thinks he'll earn him like respect on the streets, but also you know he's also just angry, you know, because about the fact that his friend Abdel was like, you know, being brutally and eventually succumb to the injuries, you know, killed by the police, and wants vengeance. Even though he himself doesn't really have much, you know, much reason other than that, not much reason to do it himself. It's like on behalf of like his friends that he wants to kill a cop, not for anything personal. But of course, that's the reason he can't go through it, because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really have. You know, much of a reason to do it. Hubert and Saeed, yeah, I mean they have a lot more of a reason, obviously. But of course they don't, you know, they want to live a safe life, a peaceful life. And so they try to stay out of the cops' way as much as they can. Yeah, so I guess it is interesting though. I don't know. I mean like it is interesting to give Vince the gun. Because, you know, like it would be a lot more riskier, you know, for them to carry it than him because, you know, Vince is white. But also Vince is kind of dumb and like really and then, like, you know, you see him get like way more aggressive and power hungry as the movie goes on, you know. It's like that gun is like the one ring of power or something, you know. I should say about the gun, what's interesting about it, and why it's such a focal point in the movie. It's because in France, it is extremely difficult to get a gun if you're not in law enforcement, or you're a farmer or into hunting, basically.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, you know, like the director was saying, like, you know, in neighborhoods and stuff, you know, in the ghettos and everything, you would never have to worry about having a gun waved in your face because nobody has a gun, basically, which is, you know. And like he was talking about that in the commentary about how the US is like such a big issue with with gun control and everything, and like you know he thinks a major problem with violence here is just because of that. It's just we're just overflowing of guns. I think that you know the issue is a lot more complicated than that, obviously, but you know I think there's some truth to it. One thing I do want to talk about, there is like some symbolism in the movie, so I was wondering to get your thoughts on it. So like they mention a cow, and then you see the cow like walking through the neighborhood. That and Vince sees his cow, and he's the one who seems to the only one to see it. What do you think that's about?
Honestly, not really sure.
Yeah.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely some significance to it, I think. Because in the beginning of the movie, Vince mentions how, because he was out during the riots, right? And he
Yeah.
says that I think like a car like crashed into a cow or something that was just wandering in the middle of all of this. And he says it's like the craziest shit he's ever seen. But then yeah, he later on sees like, hey, that's like the same cow. So at least from like from the director's commentary, so apparently in France, like cows are associated with the police, basically. Like how here the derogatory term of calling cops pigs,
Yeah.
it's cows in France. So I think I guess maybe there's something to it there, but I guess as far as like for that reoccurring, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm still trying to sort through that. I guess I kind of interpret it as like something that is, again, part of like the joy of like living in in the ghetto, and like there is still like some like whimsical happenings, and like there could still be like some wonder to be found even in such a dark and dirty place,
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a part I think that there's something to it there. And then yeah, I was also thinking about like you remember the scene in the bathroom when like that old little man is like talking about his experience of going to like a gulag.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think that what did you think the story like why do you think that guy like told them that story?
Good question. I guess just to tell him his experience.
Yeah, I mean, I find it very relatable because, like, I don't know if it's your experience, but whenever I'm in the bathroom and, like, I'm done doing whatever, and then I go to wash my hands, there's always sometimes there's an old guy there and he wants to talk to me about his life story, and it like it happens a lot to me. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but this seems to be a common occurrence.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's just sometimes you just want to talk with somebody, even if it's a stranger, because you just feel alone.
I mean, yeah, I guess it could be that. I tend not really like to talk to people in the bathroom though,
Yeah, I
personally.
don't either.
I find that really weird etiquette.
Yeah,
But
I don't do that either.
yeah, it's I don't know, I think it's really strange. But it is I found it very relatable in that sense. But yeah, I guess so that story, I guess it makes me wonder because before that that old guy, says, "Man, what a great what it's so great to take a shit." they're so Vince and Hubert are arguing about the gun, and then Vince wanting to kill a cop, and Hubert still trying to convince him not to do it, and then the guy comes out, and and this whole story is him about going to the gulag to a Siberian work camp, and the train they have that train that stops in the middle of like a tundra, and they all get out to take a shit, and then like he says like one guy was taking so long that the train started to go, and he couldn't make it, and he eventually wound up missing the train and ended up freezing to death in the cold. I guess that's very much kind of like I guess showing something that there's a worse situation than even living in the ghetto, it is difficult to live there for sure, as the movie portrays, but they don't have to be in such it's still not as extreme as a situation as something like that where you could die simply because you're taking a shit,
Yeah.
you don't have to worry about that if you live in the ghetto, usually anyway. So yeah, it's so yeah, I guess that's kind of what I kind of thought that was about. So yeah, I thought that was I really love that scene. I don't know what it is about it. I really do like it. I love the breakdancing scene. You remember that one?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, where they're just all kind of hanging out in some abandoned building. There's like just like this breakdancing. I love that part because it also shows another kind of semblance of peace. It's a very like kind of slow scene because you're just watching these guys do their thing, just fucking breaking it, tearing it up on the concrete floor.
Yeah.
And you know they're just you know the characters are just watching them, and like it's just like a moment of stillness and peace, and beauty. You know, I really love how the movie kind of breaks that up because this movie is rather it is quite dark most of the time, very bleak. But it still has like all these great moments in it. So, yeah, man. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I don't have like a whole lot more to say about the movie. I mean, I think it's again, unfortunately, still very relevant.
Yeah.
But. Very important film, expertly made. You really get to see a side of the world that I never really knew about. Of like of France, you know, like they there is, you know, there is like just like every city that has its ugly part, so we get to see Paris's ugly part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get, you know, I'll say one interesting thing about that. So my dad, he's French, and he was actually born in Paris.
Oh.
And he didn't live in like the banlieue. He never lived like in a in like the projects or anything, but he lived like adjacent to it. So and actually the first time I watched this movie was with him. And you know and yeah so you know you see like he you know there's like been like some similar experiences he's had and like how you know there's like a lot of like fighting and stuff within those places that he's witnessed himself and fortunately never been in a fight himself somehow, but yeah, he but yeah, this is stuff like he's kind of witnessed himself. So which I find like very so it, you know, I find there's like kind of like a personal connection there for me with the movie.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, so but yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
So before we give ratings, I do wanna just kind of read some quotes I liked from the movie, because there's just like a lot of just really great stuff.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Like so when Vince is like it, like they're in the bathroom together and Vince is like trying to basically justify him having his own gun. Saeed says, what a great speech. Half Moses, half Donald Trump. I like that. Let's see. MacGyver can suck me.
Yeah.
Your mother sticks carrots up her ass.
Yeah, remember that.
Man. Yeah, those are ones I that stuck out to me.
That's fair.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. Well, that's the quotes I had. So, just yeah, great writing. Okay, well, which would you rate it?
Probably, I think out of a four, maybe a four, maybe three and a half, probably four.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me. I mean, def that was a that was just like I got the first time I watched it, and second time it's just as good. Yeah, just so expertly made, so wonderful. Great, important movie. It's
Yeah.
universal, so relatable. I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's like perfect to me. It's like, it's, yeah, it's, this is why it's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, 4 stars out
Yeah.
of 4.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, well, that reaches the end of our podcast. And I think, Tim, it's your turn for your recommendation. What are we watching next?
Ooh, I think next up, I have a few ideas. Maybe either a David Cronenberg movie. Or maybe William Friedkin's To Live and Die in L.A. Or maybe a new release or maybe an older movie. Gotta think about that.
Okay, well, you gotta pick one. So, You gotta pick one, but okay, yeah. I guess it'll be I guess for our listeners, it'll be a mystery what the next movie will be. So,
Maybe Possessor by Brandon Cronenberg.
Possessor. Oh yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
It's great.
Yeah, it's on my watch list. Gotta watch.
I'm think I may actually do Possessor.
Want to do Possessor?
Yeah.
All right, let's do Possessor. All right. Yeah, so that's what this will be doing next time. Yeah, so for listeners, if you want to catch up, yeah, next movie will be Possessor. And I think I guess we'll say that for our podcast, this will be like a monthly thing. I think that's the most I can manage right now anyway. So yeah, next month, be on the lookout for episode 3. Yeah, thanks everybody for joining. Tim, you want to close it out?
Please, thank you everybody for joining. Thank you, Daniel, once again for this podcast
For sure.
and for editing it, putting together. Definitely looking forward to talking more movies next
Hell
time.
yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Well, merci beaucoup. Salut. Au revoir. Bon appétit. Bon voyage. And
Raj.
bonsoir. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.